Well, good morning, everyone. Good, thank you. Great to be here. It really is. Thank you, John, for having us along. This is my wife, Isabel, over here. We're married now for 20 years. Look at us. Does that look true? Look at me. Look like a teenager, but I've been married. I fool myself. Married 20 years. We got four kids, okay? Four kids, everyone. The McCourt motto is four, no more, okay? We've done our bit for church growth, okay? Over in East Belfast, we're keeping them guessing. They don't know if we're good Catholics or sloppy Protestants. They don't know what's going on with four kids, okay, everyone? I've got a people carrier. Other mums flash at me. It's really cool. Not flash. No, the lights, okay? People were like, wow, what are they doing in East Belfast? Okay, but so that's what we do. We're over in Christian Fellowship Church, and we bring you a big greeting from them. As I said, we're a big Alpha church, just as John said, and that's really exciting. We want to thank David as well for his input into our church and helping us with Alpha. Well, this morning, I'm here to talk about multiply, and that's sort of like the theme of the day. And I really believe as a congregation, it's one of the things that you've set out is how could you even double your numbers? How could you see growth coming into the life of the church? Well, I'm here to sort of relate a little bit of the journey that we're on with CFC in a similar way, because we really believe that God has a heart to reach the world. Isn't that great? Thank God for the Philippines. Thank God for Africa. But the world that I mainly live in is the world just down the street. I recently said, God is more likely to send you to Asda than Asia. Let's be honest, okay? Now, there's nothing wrong with Asia, everyone. It's a great place to go to. But he's more likely to say, go over to Asda and talk to someone about Jesus. Now, to help us with this morning, I'm going to tell you a story. Is everyone okay with that? You all right with the story? Jesus used to do it all the time, okay? He made a major ministry out of it, okay? So we're going to talk about a story. I'm going to tell you about a woman, and her name is Septa, okay? And her full name is Concepta, and named after the Immaculate Conception. She was one of 13 kids. And we used to work in the city of Derry, stroke Londonderry, Maiden City, stroke City, and all of that. Okay, now don't fight with me. All right. And this is Septa. Everyone, can you see her there on the screen? That's Super Septa. All right. You see her there with a cup. See her there. Look at that teapot. That served a lot of tea, that teapot. And when you used to go to Septa's house, okay, you never went into the living room. She would always bring you into the kitchen for a wee cup of tea. How many people have seen Father Ted? Come on, admit it. We all have. Okay. Aye, you will. You will. You will. That's Septa, okay? You know, she had it in via drip. She just lived on tea the whole time, okay? But for the rest of us, she would pour us a cup. And she was absolutely brilliant, full of life. And she had a dramatic conversion. She came to know Jesus Christ in a remarkable way, and she just had a heart to tell her friends about God, okay? She also used to have a Renault Megane. Anyone remember that? Anyone got a Renault Megane, okay? This is Septa's Renault Megane. Come on, let's show Septa's wheels here, everyone. Can we get that picture up, Septa's wheels? We got it up to look at that. Now, I don't know how she's got a Polish number plate there, but anyway, ignore the detail, all right? But Septa's wheels, okay, she's got tea, she's got a Renault. How ordinary do you have to be, okay? She's just an ordinary woman living in the real world. Well, one day, Septa's out, and she's doing home help. Thank God for the home help. It was a busy time in Septa's life, full-time home help, and also her mum is in hospital, okay? If you've ever experienced that in life, having a family member in hospital, it just makes life pretty busy, doesn't it? You're working full time, you got your mum in hospital, you got an awful lot to do, okay? Septa's driving down the road, and she's over in the city side, in the Maiden City there, driving down the road. It's getting a little bit dark, it is just slightly raining, and she's driving down the road, and Septa's like one of those women, I'm not being sexist in any way, but have you ever seen some women, and they drive so close to the wheel, okay? I mean, the seat is right up. Well, Septa used to sit in the dashboard, you know, and the wheel was behind her. She was so close, just looking, and you could be at the side of the road, okay, and like waving at Septa, like with no clothes on. I didn't try it, I promise, but you could be like this here, and she would never see you, because she's just like glaring out the road. But this day, she notices a family at the side of the road. Now, again, you just got to put the context here. She's looking at this family, and she immediately thinks, they're not from round here. And in the end, it turns out they're actually from Iran, everyone. Isn't that incredible? In Derry, which is really good. Like the center of the earth now. And so Septa's driving down the road. She can see this family. They're walking down. It's mom, dad, little girl. And they've got their bags from Lidl, okay? okay? Got their bags from Lidl, carrying their shopping bags, and Septa looks at them, and this is what she says, oh, Lord bless them. Have you ever done that? You ever done drive-by evangelism? Drive-by Christianity. You see someone in need and you go, God, get involved. Have you ever said that? God bless them. Like God's big hand's going to come down to heaven and just ruffle their hair. Just bless them. Love you. And God said, no, I want you to bless them. See, that's really what God's saying to us on earth. I've blessed you so much. And you're on this planet to be a blessing. I've given you the capability, the resources to be a blessing. And God said there, no, I want you to bless them. This is what she said. Oh, but God, I'm wild busy. I'm wild busy. And God said, too busy to do my will. Oh, God's good, isn't he, everyone? He's really, really good. And so she went down the road, Pennyburn Road, and she turned round, and the Buncrana Road in the Pennyburn area, turns around the roundabout, comes back up, and she pulls in beside this mum, dad, and the little girl. She winds the window down, okay? She said, would you like a lift? Would you like a lift? You will. Come on. You will. Get in the car. She had the teapot and everything in the front seat, all right? She had it all there. Get in the car. Now, they're quite freaked out at this moment in time, seeing this wee wild woman turning up with a teapot in the car, sitting on the dashboard driving. Okay, and she's there, and she's saying, get in the car. And they're, like, talking. And she throws the door open, reaches across, throws the door open, get in, gets their bags, put them in the boot. They're in the car, like, kidnapped at this moment in time. Now, at this moment, they don't have much English, okay? They have their own language, Farsi, but they don't have much English. But Septa's got lots of English, okay? She can speak lots of English. So she fills the air the whole time. She takes them across to where they're going, to where they're living at that moment in time, over to the water side. She drives over the bridge, talks all the way, brings them to the house. Isn't that absolutely fantastic, everyone? She just blesses them. She gives them a lift, pulls up at the house, and this is what she said. What are you doing on Sunday? Would you like to come to my house for lunch? And then she answers for them and says, of course you will. Of course you will. And then they're like sort of talking in their own language. And she said, oh, that's great that you will. Oh, and by the way, always before we have Sunday lunch, we go to church. I'll collect you at 10 o'clock. Good old Septa. Okay, so Septa on Sunday collects them, okay, brings them to church. They come into church. I remember that Sunday really, really clear. I remember them coming, but I can't remember what I was speaking on, okay? And I was actually speaking on Philippians chapter 4 about the peace of God, which really transcends all our understanding and how it guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And for mum, lady called Miriam, she had never, ever heard this before because God to her was always the God that wanted you to do, and he was never the God that would give to you and especially give you peace, peace that would calm your life. And her life was in turmoil at that moment in time, and this was radical news. A couple of weeks later, Septa has befriended them. She's over at the house, and dad is taking the little girl up the stairs to put her to bed, read her a story. Septa just feels quite compelled in her heart that she should speak to Miriam at that moment and just tell her about what happened that previous couple of weeks, okay? And this is what she said. Miriam, I feel I need to tell you this. Yes, Septa? Remember that day when you were walking down the Buncrana Road and I pulled in and give you a lift? Yes, except I remember that day. Well, Miriam, I need to tell you this, that I really felt that it was God that told me to stop and give you a lift. Immediately, Miriam starts crying. She starts crying, everyone. And Septa's like, no, I'm not going to preach at you. I'm not going to do the God thing. I'm not going to hit you with my Bible. You're okay. No, it's okay, Septa. She brings herself around, and this is what she said. And you know what, John, I cannot understand the theology of this. This is what she said. Septa, as I was walking down the street that day, and we're carrying the heavy bags, and it's getting cold, the rain's starting to come down, we feel so lonely, I prayed to God that he would send someone to give me a lift. Wow, everyone. Isn't that pretty incredible? Do you know that something actually broke out amongst that community? In one Sunday service, Septa brought along 37 people to church. 37 people, everyone. You can't ignore that. That's a busload, all right? That's pretty incredible. Why am I telling you this story? Because I think it's an incredible story to encourage every person that considers themselves to be a Christian on how we can, number one, impact our world. Now, this is really, really important that we try and grasp this, okay? I love church, but church is just a small part of what I do. Because you know what? I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a neighbor, I'm a citizen of the country. There's so much more going on in my life than just church. And I'm even a minister, okay? I'm a pastor. I do this for a living. How many people know that you don't spend most of your time here? And thank God we don't. Thank God that we do come here and we do an awful lot here. But actually, the main part of who we are, and this is what I say in CFC, we're about a 90, 95% impact your world church. Leave here today and go out there and guess what, everyone? Impact your world. Just go out there and love on them. This is our philosophy. Kiss and tell. The first thing that you should do is kiss the world around you. Grab someone today and kiss them. No, I don't mean on the lips, but kiss them with kindness. Bless them. Matthew 5:13 says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone." One in the house. I really want to encourage you, everyone. If we're here and we're Christians and we've got Jesus in our lives and we've got the Holy Spirit living inside of us, we are incredibly different than everybody else. And it's not because we don't do drugs, and it's not because we don't have affairs, okay? And it's not because, you know, we're not going to concerts down at the Odyssey and getting, the new term is prinked. I just found that out this morning, prinked. Pre-drinking, okay, before you even go to the event, okay? You're just loaded before you go in. It's not because we don't do all of that. What makes us really different is that we're filled with the life of God. I remember one guy used to be in my first church, and he was a postman. And I said, "How you doing, Craig?" And this is what he said: "If I was any better, I'd burst." Not a great line. If I was any better, I'd burst. And this is from a postman, okay? He's not a CEO on a six-figure salary. This is just a guy who's doing a great job, but he's got God in his life. And I want to encourage you, everyone, we got Jesus in our life. We got the hope of the world living inside of us. I am overdosing on hope. Thank you very much for that big response. And feel you're right with me there, you know? But you know what? You and I in our ordinary lives, like Super Septa, okay? Like Craig Postman, we can just go out and impact our world. I got a mate, his name's Donovan. He lives in South Africa, and he is a legend, everyone. See, hanging out with Donovan, it's just the most fun in the world. Do you know why? Because he's like Jesus. Now, if you're here and you're saying, "Well, I think Christianity's boring," it's either you've met imposters, they're not really Christians, or it's just you're boring. Let's just cut to the chase. It's personality thing. It's about you, and stop giving the rest of us a bad name, okay? You're boring, okay? Do not blame that on Jesus, all right? Nothing to do with Jesus. Because when you hang out with Jesus, actually his disciples were going, "Slow down and tell us, try and explain to us what you're doing, because this is killing us." But when I was hanging out with Donovan, Donovan's just the best. One time we're down in Cape Town. He's treated us. We've gone out to Robben Island where Nelson Mandela was for 20 years. And then we come back in and then Donovan meets us there again, okay? Just at the waterfront. I don't know if you've ever been there. What a privilege to have been there in life. And down at the waterfront, he says, "Come on, I'm sure you're starving now." And we went in to buy pancakes. And I'm with like a team of leaders, pastors. We're split across like two large tables. I happen to be sitting beside Donovan. We eat our pancakes. Life is really good. And this is what happens. The guy who's our waiter comes over to the table. Donovan asks for the bill. He goes and gets, you know, one of those little machines, okay, brings it over to Donovan. And it's just the only reason I can hear this is because I'm sitting beside Donovan. Donovan looks at the bill and he said, "Is that the bill?" And the guy goes, "Yeah, that's the bill." And all the other guys are talking, but I'm listening in. I'm listening in. And then, because I know what he's up to. Donovan goes to him, "Okay, that's the bill." And he says to the guy, "How much would you like for a tip?" Have you ever asked anyone that question? Go on, I dare you. Just look at their face. He said, "How much would you like for a tip?" And he wasn't showing off. He wasn't shouting across the restaurant. He just looked at the guy. "How much would you like for a tip?" And the guy goes, "Pardon, sir?" He said, "How much would you like for a tip?" And serious, this was going back and forward. And he said, "Pardon?" He couldn't believe that someone was asking him this. He said, "How much would you like for a tip?" He said, "Sir, I couldn't possibly say." He said, "Well, why not? I'm asking you." And he says, "No, the boss wouldn't like it. The boss wouldn't like for me to say that." He says, "Are you telling me your boss wouldn't like?" He says, "No, the boss wouldn't like it." Donovan said, "Okay." I don't know what he punched in, but he punched something in. A guy walks away and nearly trips over. He nearly trips over. He's like, looking back, "Are you for real or whatever?" But he quickly goes over and gets, you know, done. And then he comes back over. And again, this is all quiet, but I'm nearly on Donovan's knee now to hear what's going on. And Donovan just turns around, and the guy comes over, and he said, "Sir, thank you so much. Thank you very, very much." And Donovan said, "I just want to bless you." Use that language. "I just want to bless you." He looked at him and he said, "Are you married?" He said, "Yes, I am." He said, "Do you have kids?" He said, "Yes, I do." He says, "Is life tough sometimes?" He says, "It is. And I lie not." Donovan, he's a superintendent of a church. He's got 70 churches. He has got a growing, thriving church himself. I mean, this is one busy, busy man. Donovan pulls out his card. He said, "If you ever find yourself in financial trouble, you call me and I'll try and help you." This is the same Donovan that one time was driving in the car and he said, and he went to the robots. You know what they are in South Africa? The robots, the traffic lights. And every single morning, Donovan's up early, leaving his daughter out to a special project that they have, working with people in these settlements that are just so difficult. And Donovan sees this young guy standing there every morning selling papers. Donovan, one morning, just moves with compassion. He drives up to the robot and he said, "You come here." The guy goes like this here. He holds the paper over, but holds his hand out like this, because you are not getting that paper until you give me the money, okay? Donovan said, "I want to speak to you." He said, "Sir, I'm trying to sell papers. I want to speak to you." He said, "What is it, sir? I want to speak to you. I'm pulling in. You come over with me. You come over." And the guy comes over. "What is it? What is it? What is it?" And Donovan said, "Why are you selling papers?" He said, "Sir, it's my job." He said, "What do you want to do with your life?" And he said, "What? What do you want to do with your life?" He said, "Sir, I would love to be a plumber." And I don't mean to be rude, everyone. We just got to get real life here, okay? This is a young man that has had his two front teeth extracted, and it's known as a love gap. You just need to work that out for what he has to do to make money. And Donovan says, "What do you want to be in life?" He says, "I want to be a plumber." He said, "Why aren't you a plumber?" He said, "Sir, I can't afford it." This is what Donovan said. "You're going to be a plumber. I will pay for you. Because I know you will make a great plumber in life. Because every day you turn up on time, every day you are here without fail, I think you will be a good investment." And he paid for him to be a plumber. And I just want to say, everyone, I thank God for church, and we're going to get round to that in a second. But I don't want church to be the pinnacle of what I do. I want to impact my world, because all around us, there's people, you know what, that we could bless. We just like put our head into gear, get our heart moving. And you might not feel like you can walk up to someone and raise them from the dead. But you know what? You've got an extra couple of quid in your pocket. It's amazing how you can bless people. Do you know what? Just being kind, just asking people, what is their name? What do you do for a living? All I do, if I hear any accent serving me in a restaurant, I always ask, where are you from? Because I just want to say, how did you get to this nation? Welcome to our nation. Thank you for coming. Thank you for investing in our economy. How are you settling in? You freak people out in the shop all the time. Anyone that does well with me, do you know what? I say to them immediately, can I speak to the manager? And they're like, what have I done? Because they're used to what? People complaining. I want to go the other way. I want to be a blesser. I want to find the manager. I look at the manager and say to him, see this person. The manager's like ready to write down, you know, all the negativity. I'm waiting for them. I said, you know what? They are fantastic. The way they dealt with me. I think far more of your company today than I did when I came in because of them. They deserve a pay rise. Do you know what? Please, everyone, every day, everywhere, with everyone, go and bless your world, yes? Impact your world. Let's be good news in our world. Are you all cool with that? Okay, so what did Septa do? She impacted her world, and I think it's really cool. She gave them a lift. She brought them to the house, and you know what? I think that's wonderful. She impacted her world, but she then did something else. And I want to encourage everyone, Christians, let's be 95% impact our world, but let's take it a step further. And let's say this, that after we impact our world, what about inviting our world? Wow. And that's where Septa takes it to a whole nother level. Yeah? Super Septa. She doesn't just go, you know what, I feel like a really good Christian. Give someone a lift today. Taxi for Jesus. Yeah. No problem. Didn't even charge them. Didn't even help them out with their bags. You know, wouldn't have been sad if she'd have said, that's $350. But she helps them out with their, but you know what? She takes it a step further. And you know what? She's impacted her world, but it doesn't stop there. And then she starts to invite her world. And I'm going to say to you and everyone in this room, it is the natural process that after we impact our world and we're engaging with our world on a daily basis, that we would only invite them. It's the natural thing to do. Why did she do this? Because she was shameless. Listen to what the Bible says. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because what? It is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. So what the Apostle Paul says, within the gospel is the seed of salvation, and I am not ashamed of it. I've suffered for it, I've been beaten up, I've been rejected for it, but I totally and absolutely believe in the gospel. And I want to say this here, not an old Northern Ireland bigoted gospel. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is filled with compassion and good news, a message that says to every man and woman, do you know what? No matter what you've done, and no matter where you've been, and no matter how bad you feel, the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse your life. And you know that guilty conscience that makes you feel so bad? His blood is so incredible, it can even take that away. Yes? That's a remarkable message, everybody. This message is the hope of the world. The message is this, that every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. I'm not ashamed of that. I'm ashamed of some silly Christian nonsense that tries to attach the Christian message with a certain culture. That's not what we're about, people. I just want to promote the Savior who passionately loves the world. I'm not ashamed of that. Actually, I'm dead proud of it. Yes? Come on, everybody. You see, some people say to me, you know what? I have a private faith. There's only one word that stands with that, and that is nonsense. Because everyone, I don't have a private marriage. All right, Isabel, you know, asked her in a dark room, would you marry me?
but this is going to be a wee bit different. We're not going to do the whole ring thing, and we're not going to invite people to the ceremony. We're never going to have a video. We're not doing that. Just want to keep this on the quiet. I mean, I'm dead serious about you. You know, you are the center of my life, but I want you to walk 10 feet behind me when we're shopping. You know, so I want to keep this cool. All right, you know, don't be shouting about it. And if anyone ever asks you, are we married, sort of palm them off. But I love you with all my heart. You see that sort of stuff, everyone. That's not a relationship with Jesus. You see, when you keep a relationship a secret, that's called an affair. And everyone, I'm not having an affair with Jesus. He's the center of my life. He is everything to me. Take all my stuff. Take my reputation. But let me keep Jesus. We're going to be okay. I am dead proud of him. And guess what, everyone? He was dead proud of me. He hung on a cross naked. He gave his very last drop of blood for me. We're not having an affair. It's not a secret thing that's going on. This is up front, everyone. Yes. And I just want to encourage you, if we're out there and we're totally committed to being salt and light, and we're out there impacting our world, and we're walking into Tesco's, not with the megaphone, okay, and a choir behind us, but like we're just like going to pay for the petrol, we're going to into Tesco's, we're hanging out with our neighbors, we're just loving on with God, and we're impacting our world, the natural thing will be, okay, that sooner or later, when Jesus is the most important thing in our lives, when people discover that we are married, they'll soon meet Isabel as relationship grows. They'll soon find out that I've got kids. And they'll also soon find out that I go to church. And if I'm going into all the world preaching the gospel, because this is not the job of a minister, it's not the job of a pastor, it's not the job of the elders of the church, this is the job of every Christian in this room. You've been commissioned. I've been commissioned to go into all the world and preach the gospel. God said, go, go. Actually, that Greek word can be translated as you go on your way, not as we go on special mission. But as you go on your way, just naturally, preach the gospel, make disciples. I want to ask you this. When was the last time you invited someone to church? Now, it's been a week. Shame on you, come on. Standards dropping. Well, let's come on. It's been a couple of weeks. It's been a couple of months. Let's be honest. If it's been years, we got to ask the question, are we really impacting our world or merely imitating our world? Because as I'm going around sharing the gospel, loving on Christ, the most natural thing that flows out of me, I'm married, I love my wife. I've also got God in my life that shapes my whole worldview. And I'm sharing that with you. I'm impacting the world. The natural thing will be as I am discipling, that I'll say to someone, why don't you come along to my pastorate? Why don't you come along to one of our services? And I could actually see past it if I'd come here this morning, and excuse me, this had been a really crummy service. And it was like full of embarrassing moments, you know, like you're going, oh my goodness, this kills me. Never mind my neighbors. Imagine bringing someone into this. This is a great church. Did you see those kids at the front? They're all giving it. Even some of you were smiling. It was amazing. I mean, is this so totally embarrassing that we would never want anyone to see this? Well, if it's like that, why are you part of the club? Get a new club. Yes? So it's understanding, go. Go into all the world. And you know what's also, it's overcoming no. It's overcoming no. You know, at Christmas, it's a brilliant time to invite. And I just had lined up 5 people in my world that I was going to invite. I actually got a little bit nervous about it, you know what I'm saying? So I've sort of been impacting the world a bit. And then I thought I would invite them, okay? And they all said no. You believe that, everyone? Look at me. How good am I? I mean, it was like Dragon's Den. I was going through my pitch. And they all said no. They all said no. But everyone, no is just a word. Please, I want you to turn around to the person beside you. Look them right in the eye and give them a good Ulster no.
Oh, we know how to say no. I'm really serious now.
What's the first word a child learns?
No. No, I hoped it would be daddy. Or dishes. But it was no.
We're well used to no. Everyone, let's just get to terms with this. It's only a word. Vast majority of people say no at the beginning. Just keep asking them. I'm serious here. I keep asking them the alpha. We heard about that today. Just keep asking them. Now, I don't mean in the same thing. Okay, you will. I don't mean like that, okay? I'm just saying, we'll come back at another time. Don't feel frightened with the word no. You weren't at the foot of the Eiffel Tower with the ring in your finger asking a girl to marry you. And she goes, are you joking? Look at you. I'm here because you're praying for the break. You thought we had a future? It wasn't a marriage proposal. It's just inviting someone to church, everyone. And we crumple when they say no. Ah, come now, Jesus, and save me the embarrassment. It's the most natural thing in the world. I ask people, you need to try this coffee. No, I don't like coffee. I can't believe you said no to me. I can't believe that. You've really offended me. I love coffee. Everyone, it's just a word. I need to encourage you that if you as a church are going to grow by hundreds, you need to invite thousands. And some people are going, oh, he's playing the numbers game. It's all about numbers. Well, no, it's not. But actually, it is. Because when I go past nightclubs that are way busier than CFC, I get well annoyed. When there's literally hundreds and then thousands and tens of thousands of people that don't know Jesus. I want to invite thousands. I was driving here this morning. There's a guy out running. I was like, Isabel, let's kidnap him. Just you open the door and we go past. Whack him. Whack him with your door. Throw him in the boot and he'll wake up in church. You don't have to be that radical. Dr. Tom Rainer says this, and we're going to try and bring it to conclusion. Dr. Tom Rainer, John just loves to hear those words. He's going to bring it to a conclusion. A safe landing. I'm about to do my leotard thing. Dr. Tom Rainer says this, 82% of the unchurched are at least somewhat likely to attend church if invited. 98% of Christians never invite. Come on, everybody. 98% of Christians never invite. And do you know what's happened? It's become a consumer thing. And this church thing, which is the hope of the world, has become about us. I like my worship medium rare. Medium rare. Dave, would you take that back, please? And I need a wee bit more done on that. It's a bit rare this morning, that, David. Don't really like that, you know? Don't really like that. He always overcooks the worship. Always overcooks the worship. We've turned it into Starbucks. And everyone, we've turned it into Starbucks. You just can't get a coffee anymore. It needs to be this, with that, and that size. What is a Fenty anyway? I don't want a Fenty. I want what I want. Gets a bit consumeristic. Last thing, what does Septa do? She impacted her world. She invited her world. This is really, really important, everyone. She kept the initiative. So some of us, like, we're good. Wow. I'm an impact your world person. I showed kindness today. You haven't been shouting about it, but you know what you did to bless someone's life. And you did it not as some sort of, you know, part of a process. You just did it because you wanted to bless. But some of us have been really courageous and we've turned around and we've been impacting our world. And the natural thing is that we're going to invite our world. Yeah? But
What we do sometimes is that we turn around, we invite our world and say, Dave, I think you should come to church. Sunday night would probably suit him. Sunday night would suit you best, Dave. Won't you come on Sunday night? And Dave, that would be really great. I'm going to leave that with you. Wow. Wow, God. Did you see that? I've been impacting him, loving him, buying him, got him all coffeeed up. And then invited him. How cool is that? Well, God, I'm just shining my crown, getting more stripes on. I'll get a job in the ministry soon. But what did Septa do? She said, I'll give you a lift. You know what, everyone? Well, she did this first. She was a wee bit cheeky at first. She said, come for lunch, but come to church first. Did you see that? Jesus was often very cheeky. And people that got to him were very cheeky. They ripped off roofs, everyone, to find him, to jump the queue. And she kept the initiative. And I just want to say this, everyone, that it's just not about inviting. It's actually about saying, how many obstacles are between me sitting in this coffee shop or sitting in the staff room at work? How many obstacles are between that person and sitting here on a pew in Carmoney Church? I want to say, there's like dozens of obstacles. And what you need to do is keep the initiative. When you give the invitation, do not let go of their hand. Keep their hand and say, do you know what, Carmoney Church, a very, very busy church, very, very busy. And you know, the car parking is chaos. I'll come and get you first. You don't even know where it is. I thought it was Glengormley, everyone. But no, it's not. It's actually in Carmoney, a totally different place, okay? A far superior citizen altogether, okay? I said Glengormley the other night. People were like, yeah. So if you invited me to Carmoney, I'd have ended up in Glengormley. Potentially a lost eternity, everyone, just because of a geographical Google Maps mix-up. But if you turn around and say, I'll give you a lift, and don't worry, you won't have to come in through the doors and wonder, what is going on in this place? And we're just walk in, and you're with me. I'll tell you where the kids go, and you can bring your kids as well. And it's absolutely, and you know what you do? You keep your initiative, and you're going, oh, why is this, Andrew, this morning? Is this a sales pitch? No, it's not a sales pitch. It's just about being so totally focused on touching lost people. And I want to say this here. Church is not the only place to become a Christian, but it's a great place to become a Christian. It's a great place to become a Christian because you're born into a family. You grow with a family. You're discipled. You make friends. It's not the only place, but I want to say it's a prime place. And I believe in local church with all of my heart. It's just about people that need Jesus. Right, this is it. The daftest movie I've ever watched was Happy Feet. Anyone ever seen Happy Feet? What a stupid movie. Guess why? They all look the same. I couldn't tell what penguin was who. Let's be honest. You've seen one penguin. You've seen them all. I mean, have you ever go to the zoo? I really like that one. Which one? He's moved. I mean, they're all like, you couldn't really. I really like the black and white one with the paddles either side. I mean, what? It was a stupid movie. You should have given them mohawks, colored them in, etc. Stuff like, we had bracelets, anything, numbers on them, okay? I had no clue. I give up halfway. See, because all penguins look the same. Unless you're a penguin. So they tell me, penguins. No, it's borne out. All those David Attenborough programs, Frozen and or whatever. Frozen Planet, that's a movie, Frozen. Okay, Frozen Planet. Of how like one penguin goes away for months to go and get the food and brings it back to the penguin that's guarded the egg. And they can walk through hundreds of thousands and find their penguin. That's genius, everyone. You got to give it to the penguins, okay? They are a smart crowd, okay? And see, for us, you know what we're really about? I don't want to become part of the crowd that just looks at the crowd and sees everyone just the same. I want to be so finely tuned to this world that I can see individuals that God
sent his only son to die for. I don't want to go to Tesco's anymore and just see people, lines of people. I want to see individuals. Are you hearing what I'm saying here, everybody? Don't let your life become like a bad addition, a happy fiend. Let's keep the heart in this. And I encourage you with all of my heart. Go out today. Impact your world. You know, every single garage around here should be like at the end of the day going, this place has been nuts. Everyone's been smiling and tipping us and giving us bags of crisps. We're inundated. Invite them as well. Yes, but keep the initiative. Keep the initiative. Thank you so much.